Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
An insider's look at the National Football League.
That's a W. How many of you want to eat a W tonight?
Time for NFL Lunch.
Cooked you a turducken. There it is.
He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Sponsored by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse with Vinny and Haney on Sports Radio. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny, you guys do this every day, but I haven't eaten today. I had a little piece of bagel, but when you see NFL Lunch on here, does it make you hungry?
No, because, I've kind of gotten used to eating my lunch at 9 o'clock in the morning, and then I don't eat the rest of the day because, when I leave here, I go to the gym or whatever, and then, my typical day is I'll go to the gym after, and then I have to pick my daughter up at school at 5:30 after track practice. Then we go home for about an hour, and then I got to take her to soccer practice, and I get home 9:30.
You got a full life, Vinny.
Oh, boy. I let me just say this, Bruce. I have a lot of time sitting in my car.
I bet.
Tuesday night, I sat in my car 7 o'clock, and I watched a Caps game. Just sitting in my, because she didn't get done until 9, so I just sat in the car.
Why not?
Yeah.
Why not? Joining us now, longtime NFL writer Jason Cole. Jason, welcome to the show.
Good to be here. What's going on, guys?
Well, I wanted to ask you, first of all, about these rules changes going on at the NFL owners meeting. What's your take on that?
I'm reading people sort of throwing out the idea that NFL teams are going to get sued over catastrophic injuries. I don't know that that's really viable given the nature of the sport and what players agree to. But I would say that would be the pathway that the NFLPA would take. Because if you're going to say, allow lawyers to get involved in what is too much violence in the NFL, you're really going to have a more drastic change in the game than you could ever possibly imagine. And again, I think what the NFL really needs to do is turn over what they want the rules to be to the players in large regard in terms of what they want to allow to be contact, and to say to them, look, you guys establish the rules that you want to live by and you want to play by and you agree, and then we will sign off. But we basically want a waiver from you guys that 20 years from now, you're not going to come back to us and sue us for things that you agreed upon. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's the more viable way. I think it's a really bad idea for the NFL to try and decide what is healthy, what is judicious for the guys who are actually playing on the field when it's not people who are playing on the field. It should be the guys who play on the field who decide, okay, here's the rules that we want to live by.
Now, Jason, I like the putting the ball on the 35-yard line because I think what it does, it gives us more kickoff returns. And I think that'll create a lot more excitement because, you know what? A lot of these running backs and the Austin Gentes of the world and stuff, they're going to be returning kicks.
Some of that, I think you're still going to want your most explosive guy. I mean, Gentes, I'm not saying Gentes not explosive, but isn't it still ahead of speed, especially when the opposing team in coverage can't get to full speed as fast as you can, so you want to get to speed. You're still going to put your emphasis on the little return guy who has swerve to it. I don't see that changing a lot. I just see more opportunity like you do. Or if it's on the 35, man, scoring is going to go up. Mm-hmm. Like, it's really 35-yard line, making teams basically have to drive. What do you got to drive with the kickers kicking the way they are? Yeah, you got to go 25 yards.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically it's two first downs and you got a field goal. Like, this is, you know, this is pretty simple stuff. Like, to me, like, the amount of increase you're going to have in scoring by this is really substantial.
It is. Let me ask you something. There was great hue and cry about the new kickoffs last year. Did that thing have the impact the NFL was hoping?
Well, did it reduce injuries? I mean, like, I don't know the
well,
science.
They were hoping,
that's the part I haven't seen the science.
They were hoping for explosive plays and make the game more exciting. And basically what I saw was like 1 in 4 kickoffs came down in that hot zone and the rest of them were in the end zone. I didn't see a whole lot of impact from it last year at all.
Well, I think the intention of that was not to increase explosive plays. The intention of that new rule is to decrease the number of, you know, full speed, the amount of full speed contact you have. Because that's more about reducing concussions and the crazy hits that you get on traditional kickoffs. Because that's the stuff, like, Larry Izzo tells this great story. When he was playing, he was a special teams guy, played with New England. He's still a special teams coach in the NFL. But, you know, he was in New England and Miami, got started there. And he was nothing more than really a special teams guy. If he ever got on the field as a linebacker, he was immediately targeted, right? But he tells this great story about how one time he's ran down, he's moved on to New England, he's playing against the Dolphins. He's going up against his best friend, Zach Thomas, who's on kickoff return, kick coverage. So Zach is on coverage, and Izzo is on, you know, return setup. And here comes Zach coming full speed. Izzo takes, you know, goes at him full speed. You know, they're just playing the Brahma Bull thing because they're best buddies. They hit each other. Izzo ends up with this knot on his head that doesn't go away for months. And he eventually, at the end of the season, goes to see the doctor. And the doctor goes, yeah, you were like in the equivalent of a car wreck. Because that's how hard you got hit by Zach Thomas.
Wow.
So that's what the NFL wants to prevent. That's what they want. That's the business they want to get out of having guys run basically a dead sprint from 30 to 40 yards. At a guy who's trying to set up a block.
You know, Jason.
And so I understand the plays, but it's not working that way.
You mentioned the concussions. I did when Tom Maddy died a couple of years ago. I went to his funeral, and I looked around the room, and there were very few of his teammates there. And Tom was a very outgoing, gregarious guy. Had a million friends, and I thought this sounds unusual. So then I started counting widows. I counted 18 widows. So that made me curious, and I went back and researched it further. The 68 Colts that lost to Joe Namath in the Super Bowl, Jason, 30% of that roster is dead from CTE. Does that not get your attention?
Well, they literally had CTE. Like they were examined afterwards.
Yes, and that includes John Mackey, Bubba Smith, Mike Curtis, players of that caliber.
Yeah, no, I get it. You know, that's what the game is, and again, this is why I come back to the original point of you got to put the game in the physicality of the game has to be put in the hands of the players to decide what do they want to agree on. How is it they want to play this game? How, you know, what kind of long-term effects? And you give them all the science, and you give them all the data, and you give them everything and you say, this is how you want to do it. But understand this is, you know, how you might end up. So, and let's just say this, I hear the CTE thing. There are a lot of people who get CTE naturally.
Yes.
Now that's not, I'm not saying that football doesn't contribute. I'm not being one of those people who's saying that CTE and football, yeah, that's like voodoo or something like that. No, there's a direct correlation. There's no question. But sometimes people just get CTE because that's how their brain functions.
Right.
Now, Jason, what do you think, you know, with Aaron Rodgers? You know, because what I said was I think Aaron Rodgers ends up in Pittsburgh, and I think Kirk Cousins ends up in Cleveland.
It's sensible. But if you're Pittsburgh, how much longer do you really want to deal with this?
Well, what are your options right now, Jason? Till the draft, you don't really have any.
I know you don't, and I get what you're saying, but part of me says...
Screw him.
At a certain point, part of me says, do I want a guy who's bought in or not? And I get, you know, an older quarterback doesn't want to be there for the whole offseason, and he's just... But, you know, this is... Like, the guys that you play with have to believe that you're bought in. The organization has to believe that you're bought in, that you're part of this whole thing. And maybe that's happening some other way that I don't know about. But the longer that it happens where it's publicly, like, an issue, you know players. Players are no different than fans. They're starting to say, look around and go, what is this guy doing? Like, does he want to play football? Like, does he care? Like, does this matter to him? Because it sure matters to those guys. And that's part of the deal. Now, he's talented as all get out, and I love Aaron Rodgers. I could watch him play quarterback all day long, especially during his prime, and watch him throw a football. It's genius. But there is a point which, like, you also have to realize the reason that he has not necessarily achieved from a championship perspective all the things that he wanted to do, you know, winning more than just the one title. Some of that rests on his shoulders. Some of that is, you know, it wasn't just you had maybe not the perfect situation in Green Bay and they didn't go get the guys you wanted to get. Yeah, you got hurt your first year with the Jets and all that. But some of it is on you. How much? I don't know. But some of it is you not necessarily being bought into, hey, guys, we got to go chase this thing together.
Great point. Jason Cole, great spending time with you as always, sir.
All right, guys. Be
Thanks,
good.
Jason.
Take care.
Yep.
We got news from elsewhere in the NFL. I'm going to tease everybody with it, but it involves a team in the AFC North possibly changing cities. I just studied up on this. We'll tell you about it coming up on the Vinny.
Take me out to the ball game. What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-based insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And Haney Show. Charlie Morton gave up a two-run homer in the first inning to Bregman. And that means Devers was on base, so it's 2-0 after one half inning. The Orioles come into bat right now. So,
well, Charlie struggled the first time out, and he's started, and hopefully he gets it going later on.
You know, it's like we said earlier, he doesn't need to win the Cy Young Award. They just need him to eat innings. You know,
get to the sixth.
Get to the sixth. That's all it's about, right? What it's all about now. 410-583-1057 is the number. We're going to do the AL East report. And the interesting thing about the AL East report today, Vinny, is half of it's playing at Camden Yards right now.
Mm-hmm.
But
Boston's playing well.
They are. I like this Boston team a lot. I wanted to see them up close. Did Mullins just hit 1-2? Yes, he did. Balls are flying out of Camden Yards, 2-1.
It's hot, right? Yeah. It's 80 degrees today, or supposed to be 80 degrees today, and it's humid.
Well, when it's humid, the ball carries at Camden Yards, and it always has.
Maybe that new wall, they're all feeling good now because the wall's in.
Well, and you also got to feel good about the start that Mullins is having. You know, this is his walk year, and it's to his best interest to have a big year.
Well, plus the other thing was he was batted 1-something in spring training. So, I mean, really, you know, for a veteran guy, I guess you can't put anything into it. But he did start, like Nolan always, he started last year off badly.
Yeah.
I mean, they were talking, I remember talking on the radio like, man, should they get rid of him? You know, because he was doing that poorly. And now he's starting off great, and, you know, kind of the way he finished last year, which is great for him.
Right now, early in the season, only six games in, but Toronto in first place with a 5-2 record. Vinny, as a former executive, you've seen Toronto spend money year after year after year with very little to show for it, you know?
Well, they were wanting to spend money. They were offering everybody money this year, and a lot of guys were turning it down. I'm not sure. You know, before it was, like, not bad to go to Canada because of the taxes and stuff, but or the dollar. So going to Toronto, guys from the States, probably not crazy. Like the hockey players, you look at all the hockey players. All the hockey players want to come south to the United States.
Yeah.
You know, look at Kachucks. They, you know, the one, you know, he came. And the other Kachuk brother, you know, when he's probably up, you know, he'll probably leave too. Because the franchises, other than Toronto and probably Montreal, they can afford players.
You know, it's if you remember in the 90s, Winnipeg left. Ottawa left. You know, all those teams went to the United States. Not all those teams, but the teams that did go. And one of the complaints they had it was, you know, we take in Canadian money, but we pay out U.S. money. And they just couldn't figure out a way out of that.
Yeah. And I think every contract is U.S. dollars, you know. And, yeah. So, I mean, some of those, like Vancouver, I don't know if you've ever been, but that's a beautiful place.
It's the most beautiful city I've ever seen in my life.
And Edmonton, I mean, I like Edmonton.
Edmonton's like cold Houston.
Well, we went to Edmonton. Charlie played in a tournament out there when he was a squirt. And Edmonton's awesome, you know, but it takes forever to get there. I mean, we had to go Baltimore, Toronto.
Oh, I know.
Toronto.
Yeah.
To Calgary. Calgary to Edmonton.
I'm a CFL veteran. I could tell you.
Oh, yeah.
About the travel.
I mean, like, oh. But Montreal, I love Montreal. Is an awesome place.
It is.
Except you got to be able to speak French.
You do. And you know, when the Expos were around, they had always had a lot of good Latin talent. And I used to feel sorry for those kids. They got to learn two languages.
Yeah, no doubt.
When they come here. But back to Vancouver. We went up there for the 94 Grey Cup. Had to play the BC Lions on their own field. But that city just transfixed me. I did not want to come back.
Yeah, we
so I went to CBC, the local CBC affiliate in Vancouver, Canadian Broadcasting Company. And I talked to the head of their sports department, and I explained myself. I said, look, I'm here doing the Baltimore games, but I'm in love with your town, and I don't want to go home. I said, do you have anything for me here? And he looks at me, and he smiles, and he says, if I wanted to hire you, I've got to go to the Canadian government and prove to them that I can't find a Canadian that would do the job. That's the rule they have up there. So I just kind of smiled. I said, I need to get out of your office, don't I? And he says, yeah, you probably do.
Yeah.
But Vancouver's spectacular.
Yeah. And Toronto's, I like Toronto, too. I mean, I've been to Toronto some. I mean, I can tell you how to drive to Toronto. I've been there so many times for hockey tournaments and stuff, you know.
We went there on the first road trip, and this is how inexperienced we were. One of our guys got detained in customs, and so the bus left without us. So we were going to have to cab into Toronto. The cab driver, we pull up, and the cab driver says, "Oh, that's $25." And I said, "Well, we don't have any Canadian money. Will you take U.S.?" "Yeah, I'll take U.S."
Oh, so, they love U.S.
Yeah, money. Plus a tip.
So, now, Last year when the Orioles were playing up there and Rob was with the team, I told him, I said, "Rob, the Hockey Hall of Fame just down the street. Right, you know, there. You need to go to the Hockey Hall of Fame." And he did. And it was because you can shoot pucks and do everything else. It's pretty cool.
It's in Hamilton, right?
No, it's in Toronto.
Oh, they moved? Oh, there was one in Hamilton,
Toronto. Right downtown Toronto.
Okay.
And there was a Wayne Gretzky restaurant right next to it. I don't know if it's still open or not.
I remember that place. And I one of the things they featured was fries and mayo, because that's what Wayne Gretzky loves.
Ugh.
Yeah, I know. Me too. But, you know, it's Wayne Gretzky. He can do what he wants. So the Orioles right now, the score remains the same. It is 2-1. All the runs have come as a result of home runs. Bregman hit one for the Red Sox, and Mullins hit one for the Orioles, and that's where it stands. Coming up next on the Vinny and Haney Show, Mike Harmon, SwollenDome.com, going to join us. That's coming up. Stick around. Tell you what, joining us here in the studio, we'll do it now. We were going to wait, but we'll do it now. Grab that right there.
Where's Mike? Is Mike not here?
He's still getting him. We'll get him. Okay. We'll get him a little later. Joining us in the studio, she's working on a story on Charlie Serrato, Vinny's son, Grace Grill from WJZ.
Hello.
Good to see
you. Put you on the spot. Nice to join you guys, though.
Well, you're a broadcaster, and Mike Harmon is not available, and you're sitting right there. So,
all
you
right,
know,
I'll pinch hit.
That's how we do it. How are they treating you, Jay-Z? I had you on a couple of times. The first time is when you were in Charlotte and the Panthers got Baker Mayfield. The second time is when Jay-Z hired you. And I wanted to get you a chance to, you know, the people a chance to hear you. You've been there 4 months. How's it working out?
It's been good. It's been a whirlwind. I think I came in the middle of the Ravens football season. We were talking earlier. So that's so crazy. The holidays, it's brutally cold here in Baltimore, historically cold this winter. So that was an adjustment, and then moving into the city. But it's been really cool. I'll tell you what, the home opener for the O's was really cool for me. And I love Charlotte. I love my time down there. It's a beautiful city, but it is not the sports town that Baltimore is.
No.
And it was really cool for me to, I had to be at the ballpark at 8 a.m. And I was on really late the night before. So I'm running on fumes and 4 hours of sleep. And I left my apartment, I think, at like 7:30 in the morning, and people were already getting after it. I was like, man.
Oh, yeah. Well, the morning show guy said that there was people throwing up there at like 9 a.m.
Oh, gosh. But it was, for me, that was so cool, you know, just to be a part of a city that lives and breathes.
Now, are you from Baltimore originally?
I'm from Pennsylvania originally.
Okay.
Yep. Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Oh.
Hershey. There you go. I
drive through Harrisburg all the time on my way to Penn State.
Are you from Hershey?
I'm like smack dab in between. I'm like not Harrisburg.
What's the name
City.
Of the town?
Well, it's technically Harrisburg, but I'm like smack dab in between Harrisburg City and Hershey.
Okay. Now, you talked about opening day. See, I know a little bit about your background. Your mentor, Greg Mace, the guy that taught you the business. We lost him a few years ago, but he had a streak of opening. How many in a row did he do?
Gosh, it was like, I want to say it was 50. It was either 50. 52 or 53 consecutive opening days. He took me to my first.
So were you thinking of him the other day?
I was. It was cool. I mean, him, he went to, what's the school around here? Boys Latin?
Mm-hmm.
He went to Boys Latin and was a Baltimore guy through and through. Just could tell you stories for days like you gentlemen can. And it was, he was just so great with his time and experience and sharing that and wanting to, you know, the next generation of broadcasters to have them be as successful as they can. But Jay-Z probably would have been a dream job for him. So me coming here and getting that, it just felt, it felt cool.
I saw your post from Camden Yards that day, and that was the thought I had in my mind. I said, I bet she's singing about Greg Mace.
I was.
I bet she is.
Well, that's pretty cool. So your brother goes to Penn State?
Yeah, my brother's a junior at Penn State. Goes all the hockey games. It's hockey's a culture up there. Like everyone thinks Penn State football.
Did he go to
Penn
Allentown State last weekend?
I don't know. Was it at Allentown? Was in that?
It was in Allentown. Yeah. It was the regionals.
Yeah. The overtime.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was the overtime.
He was texting me in our family that he was talking about Penn State just, you know, went throwing to the Frozen Four in overtime. And
have you ever been to a whiteout there for a hockey game?
I haven't. My first hockey game. So funny story about this. So my family is big. We're Irish Catholic, so no big Notre Dame household. And
I coached at Notre Dame.
Yeah. And so I was coming home from Charlotte and my dad was like, got us all, let's go to a hockey game. They're playing Notre Dame. And I was like, oh, perfect, right? I had Notre Dame hat, whatever. My dad surprised the whole family with Penn State hockey jerseys. And I show up in my Notre Dame hat. And I was like, what are we doing? We are a Notre Dame household. And he's like, well, we pay tuition to Penn State right now. So we're a Penn State household. But it was so cool. And Notre Dame hockey is great as well. So it was just a really good matchup. Penn State won. So
yeah, because I was there too for that one. But like, I'm Notre Dame football, Penn State hockey. So I wear my Penn State stuff.
A house
my
divided.
Wife, yeah. My That's how my dad is now.
My wife's a Notre Dame alum.
Yeah.
You know, and I was there for, 5 years, something like that? So, yeah, it's
– you know.
And the hockey coach – or the assistant hockey coach at Notre Dame was a player when I was coaching at Notre Dame. So, I've known him forever. And when Charlie went on his visit, you know, he was the guy who was trying to recruit him.
How about that? I wanted to talk to you about this, too. And I think one of the earlier times I had you on, we brought this up. But females doing sports. We were pioneering at Fox 45. We brought in Amber Theo Harris, and we have stayed female since then. Amy Fadul and Kristen Brissett, and now Morgan, who I'm sure you've met and love. Everybody loves Morgan.
Morgan's fantastic.
I'm glad to see it spreading out to other outlets in this market.
Yeah. Denise Koch, actually, at WJZ when I started, she was telling me...
She's awesome, by the way.
She's a legend here.
Yeah.
And so she was... It was my first couple weeks here, and she was telling me about a woman named Gail Gardner.
Yeah.
And it was funny because, you know, Grace Grill, Gigi, she goes, I just think that's so funny, the symmetry there of you coming in. But I'm very grateful for every opportunity that I've gotten. And, you know, it's what I like about it is you're not trying to do. I think we're in the stage now of women being in broadcasting where you're not trying to do what the men did. I think women bring a unique
precisely
spin on stuff, and you do it in your own way. It softens it a little bit. You guys get a little all hard headed on here a little bit. So you bring a different perspective. But I enjoy it, and it's a fun job. I think you said it on the radio earlier. It's like, where else would you want to be than at a game at Camden Yards today? I mean, that's kind of the point of working in sports is like a friend of mine calls it the toy department. So you get to
everybody calls it the toy department.
Now, is it competitive like for like Channel 2, Channel 11, like for stories and that kind of thing?
I haven't felt that yet. I think there's such a respect in the business these days where, you know, like if Morgan does a great story, I'm going to be like, wow, that's awesome. Because at the end of the day, I think this is one of the things that is getting lost in the day of social media is that today everybody just wants to be seen.
Yeah.
Right? It's a very me culture. And they forget that, especially in local news, they forget like you're serving your public.
Yeah.
Like it's our job to tell the stories of like your son, Charlie. I'm so excited to tell the story about him. He's a kid that's from Fallston, Maryland. You know, like he's one of the kids here that grew up and played hockey and like... Those are the people that inspire your community and you want to hear about your local guys. As much as we love covering the Ravens and the O's, sometimes I find more joy of like telling the story of the hometown kids.
Totally get that. Yeah. We did this thing, Prep Player of the Week, for years and years and years. Mm-hmm. And we were just today talking about it. Carmelo Anthony was a Prep Player of the Week. And it's fun to watch them. Yeah, it's fun to watch. And also Angel Reese.
He did pretty well.
She did pretty well, too. But that's the fun. In my career, that was always the fun because I covered Charles Barkley and Bo Jackson in high school. It's just fun watching them climb the ladder. You know, yeah. I get such a kick out of that.
Well, and I don't know. I think social media has kind of killed that novelty in a way because everybody has access to everybody and everybody seems like a star. And it's like, back in the day, like you really like the stardom of it because people didn't have access to you. So if you knew a household name, like you were a real household name because there was only a couple channels to.
Well, I got into the business before cable, you know, and there were three choices at 11 o'clock. That was it, you know. Yeah. And I remember one year.
And how long did you get for sports then?
Oh, about 5 minutes. You know, they wanted to help.
More than that, didn't you?
No, 5 minutes and 30 minutes. That's in a 30-minute show. That's a lot. But I can remember I was at the ABC affiliate in Richmond. That's where I started. And we did a 28 share one rating book. Now, for those of you who don't know, a share is different than a rating. A share is the number of sets that are turned on that are actually tuned in. We did a 28 share, finished third. you get a 28 share today, you're going to the Hall of Fame somewhere, you know? But that's the way it used to be. But it really has changed a lot. It really has. But I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're having a good time over there. I'm very much for women in sportscasting, as you know.
You have been supportive of me. I started in Hagerstown, Maryland, and I remember you reaching out even when I was there. So you have always been so supportive of my career, and I thank you for
that. Well, and I'm a big fan of that Hagerstown station, too. Let me see. Mike Hill came out of there, and a whole bunch of my guys. Brent Harris was there.
I don't think it's there anymore.
Did it go away?
They went, well, it was WHAG. Tim Williams actually was talking to me about at the home opener. He was like, I didn't realize you started at HAG, and I didn't, because I started at WDVM, but I knew the history of it. And I was like, oh, it was WDVM when I was there. And so we were talking about it, but they actually moved the station to DC News now. So it's right now based in DC. So I don't know if it's still there as like a bureau, but
that's a shame.
The actual station is.
What's your dream job? What do you want to do down the road? What is your goal?
You know what? I feel like that changes so often with, you know, I'm blessed to be able to do this for a career and whatever God puts the opportunity in front of me.
Like, is it like doing NFL or doing that, you know, ESPN or?
Yeah, I mean, PGA Tour, we're with CBS now. So I'm cool. You know, I think the right opportunities I've been blessed to have come in front of me, and it's not really a set thing. It's just like, hey, if you're able to do this for a career and you can enjoy it and you can make an impact too of you guys know the people that you get to meet doing this. We're not in an office from 9 to 5. You get to meet so many cool people, and I think that's the blessing of it. So I don't know. I think Quick Pitch would be fun to host. Like if we talk to shows and stuff like that, that's just a fun baseball show. I don't know. I mean, I'm here for the journey.
Yeah.
Well, what's your favorite sport?
Ooh, we'll see after this season how I like covering baseball. But to watch, I love baseball. I just love the culture of baseball. Yeah. To just sit out there at a ballpark, it's different than that. But I will say, covering the Carolina Panthers, I didn't get playoff football the past 3 years. So I will say, the Ravens, that was a really cool atmosphere getting to cover playoff football. I was like,
Whoa. Well, let me just say this. Like, when you're covering, because I'm out there a lot for the OTs and minicamp, the people you're going to deal with at the Ravens, phenomenal.
Yeah.
They're all great. The PR people, the coaches. You're going to love them.
Everybody's been super.
And it's always been that way. And you probably know this already, Vinny. It might surprise you. This coming up is their 30th season.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. It's my 30th season, too.
Whoa, happy birthday.
I know.
Today's your birthday?
No. Oh. Just my 30th season. I was like, oh, wow, the Ravens are covering it.
You don't look 30 at all.
Thank you.
Congratulations on that.
Someone called me a young lady today, and I was like, thank you.
All right. Since you said that, it reminded me. I had an old man moment at the dump. I used to have one of those big two-person Lazy Boy recliners, and we finally are going to get rid of that. So my wife helped me load it in the back of the car and everything, and I get to the dump, and the block that you back into is about 5 feet from where you got to throw it over the side. So I'm trying to yank this thing out, and I'm all by myself, and I'm having no luck. Young woman. About 30. She said, sir, do you need some help? And I thought to myself, and I said, you know what? I do. So that was a big moment for me. Yay! You know? All right, coming up, we're going to wrap this thing up. We're going to do the fun house and all kinds of stuff. Grace Grill is with us from WJZ. This turned out to be a fun day. Stick around. Vinny and Haney Show continues. The Cincinnati Bengals.
Mm-hmm.
Their lease is expiring June 30th, 2026. This is the last year under the current list. Now, Katie
Blackburn,
who is the daughter of Brown, she said today that they're making no progress on this lease negotiation. And she said, this is a quote, we could go wherever we want to after this year.
They're negotiating.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we just heard Katie talk about Trey Hendrickson, too. She's trying to negotiate. Now, you know, she's trying to negotiate through the media. And I told you before, I don't like negotiating through the media. It means things aren't going well. You know, when one's got to go after the other through the media, it never turns out good, because then now the city's going to come back and respond. Screw you. You know, if you want to leave, go. Or, you know, just like Trey Hendrickson came on to Pat McAfee show the next day after she said those things. So from experience, when it gets in the media, it's not good.
At all. At all. And the thing is.
And look at what the Lamar thing that got into. I mean, a year ago or 2 years ago, Harbs, you know, got surrounded down there at the owners' meetings and stuff about, you know, Lamar and Eric, you know. So it's never a good thing.
Ever. And the Bengals are notoriously cheap.
Yes.
Now, this is not, they don't want a new stadium. They just want a better lease. That stadium they play in is not all that old. You know, it's a lot younger than our stadium, as a matter of fact. But yeah, they want a new lease. They've been playing there since it opened in 2000. The lease expires next June 30th. It doesn't have to expire because the lease includes a total of 5 2-year extensions that can be exercised by the Bengals, but that's what Katie's saying, maybe not. The way I read this thing is we can do whatever we want after this season.
It sounds like they want to do more things to the stadium. Yeah. They want updates. That's what they're looking for.
I would imagine the first thing they want to do is transform the press box because that's what you do now, right? You were in Washington when they did it, right?
I was in Dan did a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Well, the stadium was garbage.
Yeah.
Oh, it sucked.
Still is.
Yeah. I mean, he put it up in 9 months.
Well, that right there, and I tell people this all the time, that's the difference in public money and private money. You know, the M&T was built with public money, and it's built right, whereas, I give Jack Kent Cook credit. He always said he wanted to sit in the thing before he died, and he did. He had 3 shifts a day, working 24 hours to get that place built.
And there was leak, and it was built like that.
Yeah,
yes.
and who designed...
And the traffic sucked,
too. Who designed the parking? That's what I was going to say.
Oh, man.
So, do you see them going back to the district?
If they can, I would think.
Congress controls the District of Columbia. So they have to approve it, and that's where it gets a little dicey, right?
Yeah, I don't understand all the politics down there, but I'm just saying that the fan base, you know, the old Redskin people, they would love it.
That's where they
to
want
be
it.
Back down there, yeah.
But logically, they probably belong
Virginia
in Northern
be
Virginia.
Yeah.
Because the facilities in Northern Virginia.
It's so in Ashburn.
The Commonwealth of Virginia is already getting a payroll tax. You know, I'm sure they'd love to have that game time or game day tax too.
Well, you know, like when the Nats were coming in, you know, and it was for sale, Dan Snyder, he and his partners, they looked at it, and they looked at building a stadium, you know, in Northern Virginia. The problem was what Dan told me, he says, we can't make any money on baseball.
No. But in a former governor down there, Governor Gilmore, who was not the sharpest crayon in the box, I remember Jack Kent Cook had a plan to build in Northern Virginia, and he had some land, so they go to Gilmore. And they say, all we need is sewage and off-ramps. And Governor Gilmore told them no. This was long before they built in Landover, long before that. All they wanted was sewers and off-ramps.
Hmm.
How short-sighted is that?
Yeah.
You know.
Well, you know, the thing is, like the Redskins or Washington's practice facility out there, I called Dan one time, and it's still the same facility, you know, because he was so cheap. That he bought, you know, it was flood area, you know, so.
Probably get a good price.
I called Dan. Dan called me from Europe one time. He says, what are you doing? I said, Dan, I just wanted to let you know your property here, it's worth a lot more money. I said, what? He says, why? I said, it's lakefront. Everything was underwater. All the fields were underwater.
And he didn't appreciate that at all.
Oh, he laughed. No. He didn't care.
Oh, really? Vinny's got a lot of great Dan Snyder stories, and I
definitely do that.
Saving them for the book still? That's what you told me.
I tell you one other one that's a good one. We're on a helicopter, me and Dan, and we're going from New York to the Meadowlands, you know, because we stayed downtown when we played there, he and I would. So we're flying, and he nudges me. He says, do you know what an also is? Do you know what an also is? It's if the... He said, I said, Dan, what's an also? He said, well, if the helicopter goes down, you're an also.
Yeah.
Because it would be like Dan Snyder, owner of the Redskins, and also on the flight was. So that we're, hold on. Okay. I got even a better to top that one. So we're in New York for another game, and me and Dan, we're driving down and we're picking up Tom Cruise. And so we get Tom and we get in the helicopter, me, Dan, and Tom. And I nudged Dan. I said, hey, Dan, you know what an also is? And he goes, F you. I said, because it'll be Tom Cruise and.
One of Scott Garso's best lines. In 96, traveling with the Ravens, and we're going out to Denver, and there was a problem with the plane. They thought there was a fire. And they had to dive and everything. and we landed in Pittsburgh, and they checked it out. 5 minutes later, we landed in Cleveland, and in 96, they'd have let us burn. You know, they would have. But what were you just talking about? Because I just lost it that fast. Well, I had something.
Alsos.
Okay. So once we get on the ground and everybody's safe, Garso says, you know what the headline would have said? Matty Testaverde, 75 others killed. in Plain Crash. Hey, we're completely out of time. Vinny, it's been a lot of fun. It always is.
Thank you.
Grace, great to finally meet you face to face.
That's right.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah, Grace.
Continued success, seriously. All right, that's it for me. I'll be back on Saturday at noon as usual. And as I always say, Baltimore, I love you madly. Ain't nothing you can do about it. I'm Bruce. We'll talk again Saturday. See you.